yesterday's attacks and other things.
Some say that he does have ties to Muslim extremists. I don't know.
On June 29, 2014, the extremist terrorist group called ISIL, otherwise known as Daesh, declared a Wahhabi-oriented so-called caliphate in the region straddling the Iraq and Syria border, later citing intentions for a bigger and a more global project. In the weeks prior, this extremist group had already garnered public attention, capturing weak territories and morbid imaginations. This thanks to treacherous politics in specific Western countries and dangerous economics in certain of their Middle Eastern counterparts. The Wahhabi doctrine, which lies at the core of ISIL's worldview, is an ideology that fosters sectarian hatred, indiscriminate violence, and extreme social conservatism, and bitterly ironic enough, emanates from the West's second most strategic ally in the region, Saudi Arabia. With its public statement of instituting a so-called caliphate, Daesh initially chose to showcase a series of unforeseen land grabs. A short while later, it became clear their sight is firmly set on goals of a more geopolitical nature, scrapping the Middle East region's geographic and demographic maps. One of the things ISIL leadership has highlighted in videos since claiming a self-styled so-called Wahhabi caliphate is the vision and mission of destroying the borders between Iraq and Syria as a prelude to destroying borders beyond the two frontiers as set by the Sykes-Picot Accord, otherwise known as the Asia Minor Agreement. A reference here being made to the dismembering of the Levant region by the British and French colonialists over a century ago, which after the fall of the Ottoman reign, carved up territories of the Levant region, cutting arbitrarily across age-old and sensitive tribal, ethnic, and sectarian lines. While Sykes-Picot is not Daesh's only symbolism in waging a war on humanity, it is indeed a revealing one.
As you can see, this is the so-called border of Sykes-Picot. Alhamdulillah, we don't recognize it and we will never recognize it. Inshallah, this is not the first border we will break. Inshallah, we will break other borders also, but we start with this, inshallah. So inshallah, if we walk, inshallah, we cross the border. And we see that, alhamdulillah, this used to be the Safavid army used to stand here.
It encompasses the colonial-minded interests and threats to the Middle East as exhibited by the West. It is therefore not surprising that although an ideological symbol, Sykes-Picot tells us a lot about how ISIL sees its origins, as it tells us of its plans for the future. Although ideology does play a key role in how ISIL operates, their current objectives are not entirely driven by it. Instead, they revolve and have evolved around the acquisition of money, resources, and power as a prerequisite for embarking on a major project of ethno-religious cleansing. As such, for Daesh, claiming a so-called caliphate in Iraq and Syria is perhaps the beginning, not the end. This, however, does not mean the indefinite geographic expansion of the so-called caliphate's physical boundaries. Yet it does signify a historicized will to enlarge its aspired caliphal domain beyond the Levant region to support the viability of an invented proto-state-building project. No doubt, Daesh faces intrinsic contradictions and irreconcilable differences within itself, namely objections to its systematic brutality and erratic ruling behavior, and inadequate governance capacity and tensions between foreigners and locals within its ranks. Its military approach has also changed over time from an emphasis on offensive warfare to more defensive operations, and just recently to attempts of taking advantage of their opponents' political and military weaknesses, as done in mid-2015 with advances in Palmyra in Syria and Ramadi in Iraq. The latter method was witnessed in ISIL's recent downing of a Russian airliner and attacks in Paris and Beirut, which, except for the Paris carnage, were not initially acknowledged as their doing, but were definitely induced and as a result portrayed as being Daesh-inspired. Conversely, if these attacks were to be all seen as official Daesh actions, they can then be perceived as them hitting the French and Russians where it hurts the most, and not as a geostrategic plan to expand geographic borders beyond the Middle East and, as an example, into the heart of Europe. Ideologically said, Daesh thrives on global condemnation and depicts Western denunciation as yet more reason for fighting a holy war with a perceived crusading army of infidels. Although ISIL's hostility and hatred knows no boundary, but oddly enough, it is most pointedly directed not at the US or Europe or even Christians or Jews for that matter, but in fact at their very own supposed co-religionists, the Muslims. Clearly, Daesh is facing a number of fatal problems that are forcing it to adapt even its theater-level operations. Confronted with internal rifts arising from its methods of governance and its failing attempt to unify members with diverse ethnic and national backgrounds under a single umbrella, this violent group is now turning inward, bidding its time and buying much more in a grisly attempt to rear a new generation of loyalists who would supposedly form the very first indigenous citizens of their made-up so-called caliphate. The more than year-long U.S.-led fight against Daesh has been ineffectual and restricted to alleged targeted airstrikes only. This is because the so-called American coalition's focus has invariably neglected the socio-economic components of ISIL's geostrategic plan. This is if we opt to dispense with factual proof linking the creation of Daesh and its geostrategic plan to that of U.S. regional policies in the first place. Yet one more reason for the failure of U.S.-led operations is their typical disregard for local state actors, and in serious case, acknowledging that the Damascus government is indeed every part of the solution, and therefore supporting it, legally and pragmatically speaking, the only solution possible there. Following the recent tragic events in France, Lebanon, and Mali, and despite the continued Western hypocrisy in supporting the supporters of Daesh, namely Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Qatar, and ironically enough, Israel, it now seems somewhat of an international consensus might be shaping to confront this terrorist group. In short, the primary goal as pursued by ISIL or Daesh in view of its project is one of rapid dominance. This constitutes one major pillar of their would-be strategy, which is to last and then expand. Given the origins of extremism in the Middle East region, it is argued the sure way to eradicate Daesh is to address and redress the radicalizing roots of social marginalization within Europe and cultural colonization in the Middle East. This, however, need be achieved concurrent with cutting ISIL's financial and political lifelines, while also striking militarily at its leadership and fortifications. This is something which can be accomplished only by enabling the sovereign governments in Baghdad and Damascus and empowering the local people there to lead the way toward uprooting such deep-seated violence in an organic manner and from within.